today as we come to the table.
I love the story of Charles Spurgeon. I've shared it with you before, where he's walking with a group of people and all of a sudden they realize he wasn't with them. And they stop. Where's Chuck? You know, where's Charles Spurgeon? They turn around and he's back there on the sidewalk way behind them, standing there with his head bowed. And they all go back to him and say, what are you doing? We're all walking, we're talking. All of a sudden you stop and we don't even know you're gone until we're further down the road, we come back. He said, because as we were walking, God revealed to me something in my life I needed to get right, and I dare not take another step until it is. That's the heart of Abraham. Right now, do you have that heart? And listen, there's hope if you don't. You say, well, I don't have that heart. I kind of like to hang on to my sin. Then you need to go to God and say, God, change my heart.
The most important relationship you'll ever have is your relationship with God. Yet, how often do we put it dead last in our lives? If you have time, you'll pray later. Maybe you can squeeze a passage of scripture in there too. 9 out of 10 times you forget, and then you wonder why God feels distant and silent. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. The truth is, God is never far away, and He always wants to speak with you. It's us who close Him off and fill our lives with everything else. In today's message, Pastor Mark will challenge you to put God first in your life, not second, third, or wherever He may end up on your long list of priorities. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 17, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Notice what he says here in verse 9. He says, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout your generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and between your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Not only the kids after you, Abraham, but you as well. Now note this. First, he tells him he's going to be circumcised. That simply means to cut away. Circumcision simply means to cut away. But now he tells him where he's going to be circumcised. That changed the whole equation. And it's like, wait a minute, God, this is very serious. This is very intimate. This is a big deal. You know, circumcision simply means to cut away. And now you're telling me you're going to cut away from the foreskins of not only the children following after me, but myself. Remember, Abraham was 99 years old at this point. And now God is reaching to the deepest levels of personal things and intimacy into Abraham's life, because that's where God wanted to live. And God wanted it to be a sign to everyone else that God indeed wanted every part of Abraham. Can you imagine how this sounded to him? And especially being 99 years old. Okay, Lord, you're going to circumcise. Well, that's okay. We're going to cut away. So what? In the foreskins of your flesh. Wow. Okay, well, Lord, I like that sign thing and all, but can we negotiate as to what it might be? I mean, he doesn't say he did that. But I can imagine thinking, you know, couldn't we just, like, I don't know, do something else? Maybe certain clothes that I wear, or maybe things that I do on the weekend or something? He says, no. And there are several reasons why God chose circumcision. First of all, the cutting away of the flesh represented the cutting away of the sin life and walking in holiness. And God wanted Abraham to not only see that in his own life, that the flesh before God would now be cut away. He would now turn from sin and walk blameless and holy before God. No more rebellion, no more making his own plans. Now it's walking completely holy before God. And again, throughout scripture, we see flesh as a type of the sin nature. And that, in a spiritual sense, that's the first thing God wants to do in our life with him. That is, cut away the flesh. If you're going to walk with God, you've got to cut away the flesh. You can't live in your sins any longer. You've got to turn from them. You've got to repent. You've got to leave them behind. And so with all of the physical attributes we're going to see in the circumcision, there is a spiritual application that God wanted Abraham to learn and God wants us to learn. That's the first one. What's the second one? That this would affect one of the most personal and intimate areas of Abraham's life. And when it comes to a full commitment to God, it must be intimate and personal and reach the deepest levels of our life if we're going to be fully given over to the Lord. Nothing is held back. There's nothing too private. There's nothing too intimate. It's all before God. He knows it all anyway. You know, you ever have that time where you go in prayer and there's certain things you don't want to mention before the Lord? Like he doesn't know, or he doesn't know you're thinking about it. You know, God knows you're thinking about it. He knows the sin you're struggling with. He knows the thoughts of your mind. God, have mercy on me. You see what's going on. I don't want this. You don't want it. Help me, Lord. I'm not going to pretend it's not there. I ask you to cut it away. Lord, circumcise my brain. You know, get the flesh away. God, help me by your power. You're El Shaddai. I need you to move. I need you to intervene. Abram needed to learn this. And thirdly, when it comes to circumcision, that Abraham needed to learn is that it's a very humbling experience. You know, it's one thing to be a baby and not know it. It's another thing to be 99 years old. It's another thing to have something done where, you know, it's a situation where it's exposed. Everyone realizes it. Hey, did you hear about that guy, Abraham, down there in tent four? What? What happened? He said he heard from God and he went and cut his skin off. Really? It's crazy. Where? You would never believe. He's really crazy. And he says God told him to do it, you know. Wow. Guys, you know, and sometimes we make a commitment to the Lord. Listen, the response you're feeling right now, you know, that kind of embarrassing thing? You know that feeling? God designed that. You see, we have the same problem when it comes to our testimony, don't we? We go to the workplace and we don't want people to know that we're circumcised spiritually before God, that we've made a commitment to Jesus and that we're really going to stand up for what's right because they might make fun of us. I'm a little bit embarrassed to say anything. I mean, after all, it's the boss and I don't want to get fired and he's talking about these things and all. I'm a little bit embarrassed. I feel like, you know, hey, listen, God has put us in a place to where if we're truly going to be a witness for him, sometimes it's going to be a little bit embarrassing. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit humiliating, but it's a sign before God that we're truly committed. It says before El Shaddai Almighty, I don't care whether people think I'm crazy. I don't care if it's a little bit embarrassing and they call me a right-wing fundamentalist, nut, wacko, religious freak. I don't care. I don't care. Let them call me any label they want. I love you, Jesus, and I'm not going to be ashamed of it, and I'm not going to be silent about it. Humbling. And you know, you may walk away sometimes, you know what I mean? You feel like you've been, you know, whatever, that feeling. I know that feeling. But it's all part of God's design. You see, God forces us to make that commitment to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to humble myself so that I can be a witness for you. It's a part of his plan. What's the fourth thing that circumcision would be in his life? It would be a very painful experience. And you know, sometimes making that commitment to Christ can be a very painful experience for some people. You may actually lose friends and family. Many of you have. You may be made fun of. You may be mocked. It's painful to cut away the flesh. It's painful to make it known that you follow Jesus Christ, that he is yours and everything that you want. That sometimes can be painful, but it's something that is a part of the process of making that commitment to the Lord. And God is teaching Abraham, if you're going to follow me, sometimes it's going to be painful. Do you still love me, Abraham? Will you still follow me? And Abraham says, yes, Lord, you know that I will. And that's important to point out here that circumcision itself was only a sign. It was not a means to salvation or wholeness. Circumcision saved no one. The Bible tells us in Romans, it wasn't circumcision that saved Abraham. Abraham was saved before that. Circumcision was simply an outward sign of the inward thing that had taken place. And we also need to recognize that circumcision is something that God ordained with the Jewish people. God did not ordain that with the Gentiles. Now, we know there are medical benefits today from that. There are great medical benefits to circumcision for our children, but the bottom line is, it's not a symbol that's been given to us as believers today. It's a symbol that was given to the Jewish people. And so they're the ones that have that sign of this inward event that's taken place, and they show it outwardly. And again, and so what is it, the parallel to us today? The parallel to us today would be baptism. God has given us baptism. What is that about? Well, baptism is an outward sign of something that's happened inward. But listen, does circumcision save you? No. Does baptism save you? No. You can go through all the religious rituals that you want, but unless there's an inward change, the outward things that you do mean nothing. Abraham did them first inwardly, and then he manifested them outwardly into what they really meant in his life. And again, the same thing is true for us. It would have no significance if it was simply just a matter of something that was done for religious ritual, but great significance when it's the heart. There are people today that think because they go and do all the things they're supposed to do, you know, go through confirmation class or, you know, get baptized and do all the things they're supposed to do, somehow now they're right with God. No, it doesn't work that way. Being right with God only comes through a heart commitment to God, a repentance of sin and receiving Christ as Lord. That's what it is being right with God. God doesn't want our flesh circumcised. He wants our heart circumcised. It says in Deuteronomy 10:16, the Lord speaking to the nation of Israel, he said, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and do not be stiff-necked. You know, that stiff neck, you know, of the horse that won't, you know, go when you want him to go and he's pulling against you. He says, don't be stiff neck like that. He says, circumcise your heart. Make your heart, cut away the fleshy areas in your life. Make your heart right before me. And so that I can be, that you can be clean. And again, it's the same thing with these two signs. It's a sign of cutting away the flesh and baptism, a sign of washing away the old person, washing away the filth of the world, but showing an inward thing that has taken place. And so again, he's saying, you know, this is what I have for you, Abraham. And again, although Abraham being probably surprised by this, we're going to see that he's very obedient and he wants everything to be given over to the Lord. Notice he says here, he says in verse 11, you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any stranger who is not your descendant. In other words, anyone you're connected with that wants to be a part of your spiritual family, Abraham, they've got to be circumcised. And what's the symbolism here is very clear to us, and that is simply this, it is simply a sign of something that God is doing on the inner heart. God's promise is not simply to the descendants of Abraham and those who receive circumcision as a Jew, but he's saying anybody that will be a part of your spiritual family, they need to be circumcised. And again, the picture is that circumcision of the heart, that cutting away of the flesh, being a child of God, repenting of our sins, and being a part of the family of God. You know, it's interesting to me that he asked him to do it on the 8th day. Now, there is a very practical reason for that. And this amazes me about God. I love the way God does things. Because even again, I've known this for a long time, but I found out something new this week that even makes it more exciting. You see, a baby's blood clotting factors are not kicked into gear until the 8th day. They begin to generate before that, but all the things there that, you know, the vitamin K that needs to be there and the other, you know, factor there in the blood that makes it coagulate is not in place until the 8th day. And so we see God's fingerprint here, God's hand. People say, oh yeah, God wrote the Bible, prove it. There's stuff like this all through the Word of God where God chose the very first day that we now know medically is possible for a baby to be circumcised and not be a free bleeder. But what's even more exciting to me about this, as I was looking into this week and read this particular medical article that says that on the 8th day, all male children, for some reason, their blood clotting levels spike 10%. And on day 9, they go back down to normal. Is that not exciting? Again, the fingerprint of God, the handprint of God in the Word. If you ever doubt God's Word is God's Word, things like this should just throw the doubt out the window. I had an anesthesiologist come up to me after the first service. And I've got to share this with you because it goes in line with just God's amazing foresight and insight into the way he's going to deal with us. God knowing that he would do this, that there would be circumcision and designing in the body, that there would be this blood clotting on the 8th day and that it would spike on the 8th day. He said, you know, it's interesting. There's been an enzyme known to man that has been completely dormant and was never used throughout history. It was just in the human body and no one knew why it was there. He said, and we found out when we got into the age of anesthesiology that in order for your body to do away with the anesthesiology and come out of the sleep that they put you under, it takes that enzyme. And God foreordained before the foundation of the earth to put an enzyme in our body that wouldn't even be needed until our generation because he knew there would be surgeries that would be done and we would need to come out of this anesthesia. Is this not a great God who plans ahead or what? No other purpose for that enzyme, no other reason for it to even be in the body. And God says on the 8th day, there's this blood clotting factor. I want you to do it on the 8th day. But the most significant thing about the 8th day is that the number 8 in Scripture is the number of new beginnings. Is that not exciting? You see, what a beautiful picture of the new beginning we have in Jesus when we cut away the flesh from our life and choose to follow him. And some of you may do that for the first time today. You see, you can be spiritually circumcised today by confessing your sin, asking Jesus to forgive you, repenting of your sin, receiving him as Lord and Savior in your life. And the Bible says you now have a new beginning. You're a new creation. All the old passes away and you are born again. Isn't that interesting? Born one time and now born again, symbolically on the 8th day here of a baby, but in a very real way for us in spirit. Well, notice he goes on and says, he who is born in your house and who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Notice what the Lord says. If anyone refuses to cut away the flesh, they cannot be one of mine. And that is true for us today. If any of us say, I will not give that sin up, I will not turn from what I know is wrong. I will not cut away the flesh in that area of my life. God says, if you do that, you cannot be a part of me, nor a part of my family, nor a part of salvation, nor a part of the eternal kingdom. Pretty radical. But then again, that's the God we serve, isn't it? He forces us to one side or the other. You're with me or you're against me. He says, if they won't do it, Abraham, they're not a part of my family. And the message for us today is anyone that will not repent of their sin and cut it out of their life, they can never be a part of my family. How many people think they can live in their sin and come to church each week and God's going to accept them? They're deceived. God says, if you don't cut it away, you're not a part of my family, nor can you be in my family. Powerful. And again, but secondly, notice here, Abraham's family, he said, if they're not circumcised, again, they'll be cut off. And again, he's speaking not only physically, but spiritually as he addresses this issue here. But then notice he goes on and he says in verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. So now he says, I'm not only going to change your name, I'm changing Sarah's name. I not only have a plan for your life, Abraham, I have a plan for Sarah's. And so again, notice what he's going to do in Sarah's life. He says, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Note that, not by Hagar, not by your own scheming, not by your own means. I am El Shaddai. I'm the Almighty. I'm going to do an amazing miracle in your life so that you can see and so that you can believe. It'll be a son by her, and then I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. And again, many say that Sarah's name signifies that. Sarai meaning princess. Sarah also meaning princess because the root words are the same. But some say that Sarah comes with the meaning of also a woman of nobility. And so not only will she be a princess before me, she's going to be a woman of nobility, having kings come from her line. And so again, God making his promise to both of them here and showing his blessing on both of them. She herself will have a baby. Notice he says, then Abram fell on his face and he laughed. I mean, you can imagine. And he said, his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And, you know, just a year from now, I'll have it. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Now, it's interesting. His laughter here in Romans, it tells us it was not a laughter of disbelief, but a laughter of joy. God, you're amazing. This is incredible. And yet when he tells Sarah, we're going to find out she doesn't really believe. Because sometime later, when the Lord actually comes with two angels and he's there talking with Abraham, Sarah's listening through the tent. We'll see that episode shortly. He says, Sarah's going to have a baby. She laughs, but she laughs in her heart. So they both laughed. His was a laughter of belief and joy. Hers was a laughter of unbelief. And you know, you've got both type hearts, don't you? But the good news is both of them ended up repenting and committing to the Lord, both Abram and Sarah. And so it depends on the type of laughter we have, our standing with the Lord. Do we laugh in belief at God's greatness, or do we laugh in scorn that God couldn't do it? You see, in the natural realm, this was impossible. But in the supernatural realm, Abraham needed to learn that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with El Shaddai. And now it hits him. He laughs. Oh, child, I can't believe it. I'm up through Sarah. This is incredible. And then, oh, wait a minute. She's really old. And I'm really old. And I appreciate the miracle and all, but like, what about, we have a child, Ishmael. No, Ishmael was done by the work of the flesh. And the work that I'm going to do is going to be a work of the Spirit. But notice he tries that. And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. You know, I've got one. Let's just kind of, Lord, bless him. Let's just kind of take what's already there and let you work in that. And again, I can imagine him thinking, man, this is just too much. You know, let's just go with the whole Ishmael route. But notice then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac. So not only a son, but I've given you the name. It's interesting. Guess what Isaac means? Laughter. Isn't that interesting? I'm going to give you a son. And you know what you just did? Yeah, that's his name. You know what I told you? Okay, that's his name. Laughter. And no doubt he brought much laughter over all the years that they had him. Much joy. And so his name is actually going to be laughter. So God tells him the name that it's going to be. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And with his descendants after him. So again, God's showing very clearly that it's through Isaac the line is blessed, and it's not through Ishmael as far as the land, as far as the promise that's given there. And again, that's why there's so much contention in the Middle East. And God makes it very clear, no, this is to your line. But now note this, God is not going to leave Ishmael out in the cold. He knows Abram loves him, and God loves him as well. Notice verse 20, and as for Ishmael, that is the father of the Arab peoples, I've heard you, behold, I have blessed him. And I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. You know, a lot of people feel like, well, you know, that maybe God left out the Arab peoples because his promise is with, you know, the Jewish people. But wait a minute. God loves all of us on the earth. He specifically just chose the Jewish people to pass down this promise and this blessing through. And to think that God hasn't blessed the Arab peoples, let me ask you this. Where the Arab peoples live and where God has placed them and given them their land is some of the richest land in the world, oil-rich land. And God has said, I will bless them greatly. I'm going to give them great resources. I'm going to do great things in their life. You say, well, wait a minute. They do have great oil-rich resources, but why oftentimes are they so poor, and why are they not modern like we are, and why does it seem so different in certain areas? And in certain areas it does, but again, the reason is because they have brought a curse on their life by rejecting the promise God gave to the Jewish people. What did he tell Abraham? For those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. The Arab peoples have turned against the Jewish people and said, we're not going to follow your God. We're not going to believe that God gave the promise through you. We're not going to listen to the Messiah that's through your line or whatever. And therefore, although God has blessed them, they have a curse on their life as well. And so you have a mix of blessing and cursing. God desires to richly bless them. But until they repent, he can't pour out his blessing the way he desires. Notice he goes on, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Now notice this set time next year. It is interesting because now he reveals to Abraham, there is a specific time on my calendar when I will bring my promise to pass. We need to hear that, don't we? Sometimes we think, Lord, the promise is never going to happen. I've been waiting forever. When is it going to happen, Lord? When are you going to do it? It's like, come on. No, relax, Mark. There's a set time. You just be faithful. Don't rebel, which can delay it. If you rebel, you'll delay my blessings. But walk with me blameless, and at the set time, I will bring to pass what I have promised to bring to pass. There are rewards for those who are faithful to the Lord. And so God's telling Abram, look, there's a set time. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen in my specific set time. You'll know it when it happens. And he tells him, he says, it's his time next year. And then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all who were born in his household, and all who were brought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins. Note this, I have this underlined, that very same day, as God had said to him. Now note this, God didn't tell him it had to be that day. God told him to do it that day. But the Bible doesn't say that God said he had to do it that day. Do you follow me? Notice the heart of Abraham. Notice what this reveals about Abraham. Abraham said, I'm not only going to be obedient, I'm going to be obedient right now. And I'm going to be obedient the moment God reveals to me to be obedient. What a witness that is to us. Let me ask you, is God convicting your heart of something right now that you need to circumcise out of your life? Is God showing you something right now that you need to cut it out? God has said, cut it out. That's enough. You know that's sin. You know it's against me. You know you're going the wrong way. It's time to turn from it. And you're saying, yes, I know that. I feel the conviction. And a little bit later, I'll take care of it. Not Abraham. Abraham said, Lord, you tell me to do it. I'm doing it right now. Would to God that we had the heart of Abraham. I love the story of Charles Spurgeon. I've shared it with you before, where he's walking with a group of people and all of a sudden they realize he wasn't with them. And they stop. Where's Chuck? You know, where's Charles Spurgeon? They turn around and he's back there on the sidewalk way behind them, standing there with his head bowed. And they all go back to him and say, what are you doing? We're all walking, we're talking. All of a sudden you stop and we didn't even know you're gone until we're further down the road, we come back. He said, because as we were walking, God revealed to me something in my life I needed to get right, and I dare not take another step until it is. That's the heart of Abraham.
Well, our time at the table of God's word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to him daily, being willing to go where he's guiding you.
Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.